Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for September 13th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Juan Recio about how different growth factors that induce signaling through the ERK pathway can elicit distinct biological responses. Many growth factors induce signaling through the extracellular signal-regulated kinase, or ERK pathway, through the small guanosine triphosphatase RAS, but these growth factors can have different effects on cells despite their activation of this common signaling pathway. In PC12 neuroendocrine cells, for example, nerve growth factor, or NGF, induces differentiation, but epidermal growth factor, or EGF, stimulates proliferation. Understanding the mechanisms by which specificity of the biological response is generated is important for designing pharmacological interventions that would target only one or a subset of biological responses. Dr. Recio spoke to me from the Valdebron Research Institute in Barcelona. Welcome, Dr. Recio.
Thank you.
In this study, you looked at the mechanism by which different growth factors elicit distinct biological responses despite acting through the same signaling pathway. How do these two growth factors, EGF and NGF, activate the ERK pathway?
Well, basically, these two growth factors, as many other growth factors, what they do is just to bind their specific receptors outside the cells. And once the receptors are activated, they in turn through other adaptor proteins and activates the component of the RAS pathway that end up activating ERK as one of the molecules in this cascade.
There's no qualitative difference in the signaling that's induced by these two growth factors. Do these ligands have comparable potency? Do they induce comparable amounts of signaling, or do they differ in the duration of the signaling that's induced?
The potency that these growth factors have in activating the pathway, I don't think is different in terms of the magnitude, the initial magnitude. However, the duration is different, how long the signal at some level is lasting, and that makes the cell to trigger different programs that their ultimate lead to the different biological response. They induce different amounts of signal. If we just take the total amount of signal induced by these two growth factors, I think this amount is different. In the case of NGF, it's high. It's more signal in NGF than the one triggered by EGF.
So you went looking for how specificity could be generated in the absence of any stimulus-specific components of the pathway. What part of the pathway did you focus on to look for differences, and what did you find?
What we discovered was the mechanism, the molecular mechanism. And that involved methylation. So we looked for molecules that could be methylated within this pathway. What we found was that all the RAF proteins, they were conserved. They have this motif, conserved, that could be methylated. They were conserved from C. elegans to humans in all the RAF isoforms. And none of the other components of the pathway have this motif. So that was kind of a big clue about what could be the target for this. Besides that, all the data that we had pointed out to these molecules as well, because we were able to map upstream RAF or downstream RAF the effect of the methylation, and that was why we focused on that. At the beginning, we were in front of an effect that were involving methylation reactions, because we discovered this effect using a methylation inhibitor. The location of the reactions were taking place, all pointed out it was in the cytoplasm of the cell, so we were looking for proteins that could be doing the job in that particular place. So methylation is a type of modification that can be done in proteins in different residues. And in the cytoplasm, the methylation of lysines is a strange thing to happen. So we look for protein-arginine methylations, and according to the location of where these protein-arginine methyltransferases family members were expressed, we found that just three of them, they could be in the cytoplasm. So we knocked down these three, and we found out that PRMT5 was the one to blame on.
what effect does methylation have on the activity of RAF?
When we measure the activity of these proteins in vitro, what we do is just to pull them down and measure the activity itself. But RAF proteins are they form homodimers and heterodimers because there are three isoforms, A, B, and C. And we're talking here about C and B, which are the most known isoforms. And when you pull down, for example, C, and you say, okay, I'm going to look at the kinase activity of this protein, what you're doing is just pulling down homodimers and heterodimers within the other isoforms. So the contributions to the total kinase activity of those heterodimers and homodimers in a regular kinase assay is difficult to say. So measuring this activity is complicated. But what we found is that when we inhibit or we knock down PRMT5, we inhibit the methylation reaction, we found that in response to the growth factor, the activity of these RAF proteins is increased. This increase in the amount of the activity could be because somehow this modification is increasing the kinase activity itself because it regulates its affinity to the substrate, for example. Or it could be because you have more molecules active, and we cannot distinguish between those two. What we have seen is that the methylation affects the stability. So we suppose that this increase in the kinase activity is more due to the increased number of active molecules.
So the methylation is promoting the turnover of RAF.
Yeah.
Now that you've identified PRMT5-mediated methylation of RAF as affecting the different amounts of signaling downstream of the two growth factors, then the question becomes, how is the activity of that enzyme, of PRMT5, differentially regulated by the two growth factors?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. I think this is one of the important things about this discovery, and that is that the methylation reaction itself can be regulated in response to growth factors. We haven't looked at the specific regulation. We are looking now and trying to study how these molecules regulate in response to growth factors. But there's two things important here. One is we have seen that PRMT5 is differentially regulated, the activity in response to growth factors, which opens up a new avenue of enzymatic activities that are regulated in the signal transduction upon growth factor triggering. And the other one is how this methyltransferase is regulated. And we have data that points out that this regulation in response to growth factor is RAS activation dependent. And this is because we can modulate the activity of PRMT5 and as a consequence, the amplitudes of ERK-activated molecules in cells that they were mutated in NRAS, but not in cells that they were mutated in BRAF. And this is because NRAS still signals to RAF molecules. It needs to activate RAF molecules downstream. However, BRAF signals independently of RAS. And this will be important in a tumor context where you have NRAS or BRAF mutant cells that can be affected by the PRMT5 activity.
You mentioned RAS and RAF activity in the context of tumor cells, and ERK signaling is important for the growth of many different types of cancer cells. And so I have two questions. First, is PRMT5 important for regulating those ERK signaling events on which cancer cells rely? And secondly, is PRMT5 specific to this pathway so that it could be considered as a potential target for interfering with ERK signaling, or is it so widely expressed that it isn't a good candidate drug target?
Okay, in response to the first question, what I can tell you is that PRMT5 activity is just seen in response to growth factor or RAS activation. We haven't seen this in BRAF mutant cells, for example. You have to be upstream RAF. So I guess that the modulation of PRMT5 or mutations in PRMT5 will be noticed if you don't have mutations downstream RAS. In other words, and RAS mutant cells or cells that will have receptor tyrosine kinase aberrant signaling, those cells, they're susceptible to suffer somehow the modifications in PRMT5 and to be deregulated when PRMT5 is modified. However, BRAF mutant cells, they don't, because these modifications act at the same level. So these cells, they already have bypassed this modulation.
Right. So PRMT5 is only likely to be relevant in those cancer cells that have mutations upstream of RAF.
Upstream BRAF.
And then is PRMT5 specific to this pathway so that it could be considered as a potential target for interfering with ERK signaling, or is it so widely expressed that it might not be a good candidate drug target?
In response to growth factors, we have seen the regulation in RAS pathway. That's one important thing because, for example, growth factors that activate RAS pathway and PI3 kinase pathway at the same time, the depletion of PRMT5 just affect the RAS pathway activation. That's the specificity in terms of the regulation of the RAS pathway. If this molecule is druggable for treatment, I think it's more complex because PRMT5 has been seen to participate in other cellular processes that are important, like splicing or transcriptional regulation. So I think that targeting PRMT5 will be too toxic. But one thing you can target is the mechanism by which PRMT5 is activated in response to growth factors, because we know that PRMT5 activity is regulated by that. So it might be the case that you can target that mechanism. In any case, we have already published last year a paper in where we use this MTA, methylthioadenosine, which is a natural occurring nucleoside. It's a very low toxic. It has antitumoral activities in vivo tumor growth in mouse. And this compound, what it does is inhibit methylation reactions. So it might be the case that you might find some drugs that can interfere with this or with other. The point is that when you inhibit protein methylation reactions, is broad. You might be affecting other processes and it could be toxic.
But if you could interfere specifically with the interaction between PRMT5 and RAF,
yeah,
or with the ability of PRMT5 to be activated by RAS, then it could be conceivable to develop a specific compound.
Right. And we're also looking for mutation now in PRMT5 tumors, because it might be the case where you might find activation of the ERK pathway in tumors lacking obvious mutations in the pathway, like RAS or BRAF. And it might be the case that they're having an autoimmune load that they are affecting to all the receptors that activate the pathway. You have mutated PRMT5 in a way that cannot regulate RAF. You might be ending up having more signal of ERK that could lead to aberrant signaling with different biological responses.
So mutations in PRMT5 could conceivably contribute to tumorigenesis?
It could be. What we're describing in this paper is that essentially the cells coordinate different languages in order to send the appropriate message. So if you don't coordinate these languages, you might have different biological consequences. We have seen and saw that one of these consequences could be to switch one response, which is proliferation, to differentiation. In this case, it turned out to be like that. But it might be the case that depending on the growth factor you're using, that effect could be different. And the moment and the timing and the moment of the tumor development. So it could be important to the deregulation of PRMT5 in, let's say, development syndromes or disease in where the RAS pathway is deregulated at a particular time by mutations in PRMT5. So I think that the fact that PRMT5 is controlling this RAS pathway and modulate this RAS pathway in this way, it makes it important in terms of that could be participating in different biological processes that might lead to different disease.
Thank you, Dr. Raisio, for speaking with me.
Okay, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity and to explain how this works.
That was Juan Recio, senior author of a research article published in the September 13th issue of Science Signaling. That paper by Andreu Perez and colleagues is titled Protein Arginine Methyltransferase 5 Regulates ERK1 and 2 Signal Transduction Amplitude and Cell Fate Through CRAF. And that concludes this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.